This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. What's going on there? Jason Cutter here. Welcome to episode 614, the Authentic Persuasion Show. This episode wraps up this week on the show where I had Riley Dugan, Dr. Riley Dugan, from the University of Dayton on the podcast. Another research-focused doctor in the sales programs, just like I had Kevin Chase on the previous week. And so this was another really fun conversation. My goal in this episode is to kind of armchair quarterback the things that he said, the highlights that I got from it, the nuggets I got, and then obviously give some insight from my side. During the episodes, I do my best as the host to try not to be that guy who, after the guest is saying something, I need to then jump in and monologue and talk about my thing, like almost one-upping the guest. It's their show. This is their time to shine. I have enough episodes per week that I can talk about myself if I need to, or I can always jump on LinkedIn Live if I really need to talk about myself and my own thoughts and get on my soapbox. And so I do my best during the episode not to do that. Sometimes I get excited and they say something and then it sparks something in my mind and then leads into another question. That's why I use this episode each week as my way to share my thoughts. So let's talk about this. So Dr. Riley Dugan, the first part we're talking about authenticity. Obviously, here's what's fascinating and fun. Like, basically, his first sales job on let's take a step back. He went from political science, literature, then an MBA, and then into accounting as a stable job that's always needed, and then was essentially put into a sales role where he's selling auditing services. Now, there's a lot of people out there who get into sales and they want to sell something sexy and fun, something easy, something that people want. I think sometimes about going and selling cars just because it would be so easy and so fun to sell something tangible, physical, which I've never done before because I've only sold services, and then something that somebody wants, right? They're excited to buy a new car. It's exciting. You know what's not exciting? Auditing services for your business, being sold to you by accountants. And so think of an accountant sales team as the one who are dealing with businesses to sell them something that you have to do, you know you should do, but you really don't want to do, and you definitely don't want to pay for. Think about like a doctor's exam or a physical where you're like, if I could do anything else in the world, I would rather do that than having to go do that and then pay a doctor to do a physical on me. Like, no. And so imagine that as what's being sold and what he used to sell. And I love his comments. So funny. And it's so true. The joke he said about an extroverted accountant is somebody that looks at your shoes instead of theirs, right? Versus an introverted account looking at their own shoes and not making eye contact. And I think what's fascinating and fun is that even with that being said, I know that analytical people, once they're armed with the right tools of sales and persuasion and conversations and have a roadmap and a process and know where they are and then where they want to get to in the conversation, they actually make better salespeople. And I'll say that I think they make better salespeople than the extroverted people out there, the more promoter, outgoing people. Because people tend to see those people as the classic salespeople, the promoter, outgoing extroverts. And they're like, okay, what's the catch? What's in it for you? And then also that person many times is just focused on the external stuff and the fun stuff, right? Not the actual value, not the actual business need for something that's being sold, right? You're selling somebody a car, maybe that works. You're selling someone business solutions. Like, it's all about business, right? And results. You can't just sell fluff, not too many times. So I love that. I thought that was funny. Also, another big thing in part one that I know is important to reiterate, or if you're listening to this and you didn't check out the three parts of the episode, is that he was talking about math. Like, you really need to be good at math if you're going to be in sales. You've got to be able to do math, but not a math whiz. You've just got to be able to do basic, like, I don't know, I can't remember what he said, like fifth grade or sixth grade level math. Is you've just got to be able to calculate things. And I know some industries like real estate where I know most realtors know how to calculate 3%, which is their commission. They don't know how to calculate anything else, but they can quickly tell you how much commission they're going to make on a deal. And what he said is math anxiety just comes down to perceived belief that you can't do math, but you can, right? Like, people who are like, I'm not good at math, I have math anxiety, I can't. Like, that's not true. Like, you could easily do fourth, fifth, sixth grade math. That's all that you need to do in sales. And that's just a mindset, right? That's a belief thing. And you can obviously change that. Part two, we talked about sales process. This is fascinating. So the school that he's at, and really what's taught most of these schools, if you listen to enough of these episodes or have these conversations, is spin selling. I think spin selling is okay. I think spin selling is one slice of one part of the conversation to be successful, and it's something layered on. Last week when I was breaking down Dr. Kevin Chase, I was talking about like auto mechanics and fixing cars and the fundamentals versus like the actuals, right? You know how cars work, and then I can apply that to this Honda Civic because cars are cars, right? At some level. Same thing with this, where I think spin selling is like, here's this specific tool in the toolbox, but it's not the fundamental understanding. And I think it can miss the mark, or it can cause people to be very narrow focused and think they have to solve every problem with a hammer, right? As they say, like not everything is a nail, and sometimes it's a screw and your hammer's not going to work. And I feel like a lot of times schools teach spin selling and a lot of companies focus on spin selling, and they're literally just handing all of the salespeople hammers to just go out there in the world and hit everything with a hammer. It's my issue with the Sandler pain submarine as well, is that if somebody focuses on that, learns that, and just thinks, I know I'll be amazing in sales if I just pain submarine everybody, that's not going to work. A, not everyone is motivated or dealing with pain. And you could say, oh, I can dig deep enough and I'll find pain. But you'll alienate your people, right? You'll alienate those customers who don't want you dredging up that pain or making them feel bad. There's something called prospect okayness, where you don't want them to not feel okay. Like they have to have some level of feeling okay. And so you have to be careful with that. Same thing with spin. Now, what I do like that he said is that they focus on kind of the upgraded spin mode, which is purposeful choreography. And I like that because it's really about, I have this goal. I know where I want to get you, and I know what I need to find out. And we're going to do this dance together, which is more the art combined with the science. And I think that's the key. Again, I'm not anti-spin. I just struggle with companies that say, we do spin selling. And it's like, that's not the whole sales process. And then B, that's just a hammer. Right. I had Dr. Lef Bonney on the show year and a half ago. He's actually from Florida State University. It was before this season of talking to sales professors, but he was talking about the research where top sales professionals use, I forget the number, like 3 to 4 different sales processes with each potential customer, like throughout their conversations. They're constantly taking bits from here and bits from there and bits from here. And that's what it should really be like, right? You should have a toolbox of tools and then know when you want a hammer, when you need a wrench, when you need a screwdriver, and that's all those sales processes. You got to be careful not to get married to one thing and hit everything with a hammer. It's not going to work. Okay, so here's what was fascinating. This is the first time this ever come up in the podcast, especially with the professors. In part two, Dr. Riley's talking about mindset, sales process, leading into also authenticity, and talking about internal locus of control. I won't go into it here, but the more you can do to build up a healthy mindset, the better you're going to be in sales and in life. One thing, and it may not be for everybody, some people don't like it, but the more you can look at and study, or at least read some things about stoicism, is so important. Ryan Holiday makes this very accessible and easy. I watch his stuff on YouTube. I've listened to his stuff. Riley mentioned his book, Obstacle is the Way. He writes a ton of books. He really breaks it down. He can get really nerdy, and sometimes it's difficult for me to follow what he's saying. And he has a lot of like, here's just the basics. Do this every day. Don't do this every day. Like, help with your mindset. And here's why this is so important. With sales, you know this. If you're in sales, if you're great at what you do, you're not closing more of the leads than you are closing, right? Depending on your industry, depending on what you call a lead, depending on what, you know, all your metrics might be. Some people have like weird way to calculate their metrics so that they look amazing, but it's not true. Like, this is not big picture. But if you had 10 leads, you'll close 1 or 2, maybe 3, depending on your industry. And that means you're not closing 7, 8, or 9, right? Some people say, oh, well, I close 80% of my qualified leads. Yeah, that's qualified leads, right? But what about your not qualified? Like, what about how many calls it takes to find those qualified leads? Like, that's great. You close 90% of your appointments that show up the third time. That's great. That's a great vanity metric. Let's look at the big picture, right? How many does it take to get to that third meeting? And that's the part that's mentally difficult, right? Once you know that you're going to close that deal, that's easy. It's all the other ones that are difficult. And that's where this has been such a difficult game to play with sales, is because our human brain, our mind, our amygdala hates danger, hates the risk of getting kicked out of the tribe or anything that affects our ego. And so stoicism is really good at that. What can you control? That's why he was referring to the internal locus of control. What can I control? I can control my actions and my activities. I can control how many calls I make, what I put effort into, what I'm focusing on each day, what I'm doing in my conversations, how I'm getting better and better each day. I can focus on that. I can't necessarily get them to respond. So what can you focus on? And then you balance that with the other part that he said, because this is the opposite of an internal locus of control. And if you don't know what that term means, please check it out. Like, again, Ryan Holiday is a great resource for this. He has so much stuff, but just look up internal locus of control and then start reading about that, studying it, listening to podcasts, all kinds of stuff you can do. Again, the obstacle is the way. This is not paid product placement. I mean, Ryan Holiday, if you're listening to this and you want to sponsor the podcast, please, that would be amazing. But Obstacle is the Way is just a really, really easy to read book talking about, you know, that locus of control, what you can do, what you can focus on, how obstacles really just make you stronger. I mean, I've said this for years, but it's that, you know, no pain, no gain, right? Unfortunately, it's tough when it's in life and it's things that happen, but obstacles make you stronger. Things make you stronger, make you more resilient. And so that's the key versus victims, right? There's so many people in the world, and then so many people also in sales who are like, oh, I would close more deals if marketing gave me better leads, or if our company had a better website, or if the economy was better, or if, you know, so-and-so was the president instead of so-and-so, right? Or if the the weather, and oh, if our sports team had won yesterday, like I would be so much happier and I could close. Like, that's just victim. That's just a victim mindset, right? And victimhood. And that won't work, right? And it leads to a not positive, not good, not healthy mindset. I'm not even talking about, like, you know, what you should do. I'm just saying, like, if you're struggling mentally, and I know that I do, I struggle. Like, my brain wants to kick in all the time and saying I'm not getting enough done or doing things or could be more successful. You know, when I scroll through social media, it's like, oh my gosh, like everyone else is doing well and everyone else is in Hawaii. And why am I not in Hawaii all the time, all day, every day, like everyone else? And, you know, A, that's not true. And B, it's like, okay, what can I control? And so, great conversation. Absolutely love it. Wasn't expecting that on the podcast. Please take that from that. Even if you just listen to this episode each week and you just want the nuggets, you just want the cliff notes, please go listen to that episode. Go back and listen to episode 612, where he talks about that in the episode, about 14, 15 minutes into the episode. Even if you want to skip to it, I don't care. It won't hurt my feelings. Like, please just get the nuggets that you need to get and help yourself from a mindset and a healthy standpoint. So, all right, part three. This was fun because he was talking about this, and he's a really research guy, right? Like, he's all about research. I asked him, what do buyers want? They want value, and they want research. They want you to do your research and prep, right? And the flip side of that, which is what he said, is they want more time and they want less of wasting time. So many salespeople ask for and then waste so much buyer's time with unnecessary questions that can be done. It could have been answered with research. If you're asking a company like, hey, tell us about your customers and tell us about your, you know, your industry and what about this and what are the biggest challenges you face? Like, that means you're not doing your research and you're trying to get your buyer to do your homework for you, and they don't have the tolerance and the patience, and they will have even less of that. And like he said, there's a lack of respect for buyer's time. For him, what he focuses on is teaching, relationship building. Right. And when you do that, when you focus on relationship building with that client, it's going to be a byproduct of building value, which is what he said. Because if I'm building value for you, it's going to build a relationship with you. And then if that's at the intersection of how I can help you with what I'm selling, then it's game on. Right. It's different. So when you're focused on, I'm going to build value, I'm going to give first, then that's going to lead to the relationship. And that's huge. That's such a small thing, but that's such a huge principle. I cannot say that enough. And then lastly, in the episode, the AI question, kind of the future of sales came up. Here's the big thing, and as I hear this over and over again, even on episodes that haven't come out yet, but I've recorded, is that because of technology, because of AI, because of all that stuff, obviously some jobs will be replaced, but this is where interpersonal skills are more important than ever, right? Never before have your interpersonal skills been more important, which is a quote from what he said. And the reason why is because if you're in a conversation with someone and building a relationship with someone, that's what they need in that moment. And it's really going to come down to who's got the interpersonal skills. And so that's the biggest thing for you to focus on. So hopefully you enjoyed this. Please make sure to check it out. The three episodes, again, 611, 612, 613. The titles are The Key is Being Yourself, Having a Plan and the Ability to Scrap It, and then Why Interpersonal Skills Matter, which is what I just talked about. Thanks for tuning in here. Hope you have had a great week in sales. Hope you have a great weekend, or whenever you're listening to this, hope you have a great day. And we'll catch you next time on the Authentic Persuasion Show.